you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, June 3rd, 2016. How's the foot coming along, Jason?
Well, so far so good. I saw the doctor, and the doctor said that, but isn't that like a kid's rhyme? I saw the doctor, and the doctor said, no more monkeys jumping on the bed.
I was thinking, I shot the sheriff. But I did not shoot the deputy is what I was thinking. I shot the sheriff.
Oh, boy. We're going down a bad road already.
Yeah.
Well, I saw the doctor, and he said that I need to stay off it and just try and pamper it. And next Thursday, they're going to look at it and see if there's a possibility if I need surgery or if we can just let it mend on its own. But really, the next 7 days, it sounds like, will be kind of crucial in terms of what it's going to look like for the future. So we're just praying that the Lord miraculously heals it the next 7 days or brings all of his practical graces around it through medicine and through this boot I've got to wear and through elevating it and icing it and all those things that it'll heal on its own in such a way that we won't need to have any kind of surgery. Mm. So we're praying no surgery.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine that would be no fun.
No fun at all.
And there won't be as much fun at the Homer Soda Festival tomorrow because I was expecting to see you and the family and coming up to the Great News Radio tent. I guess it's not a Great News Radio tent. It's a Homer Soda Festival tent that Great News Radio staff will be under, helping with the sampling of the soda pops and sharing good cheer to those that come out. I think last year, Kate Boyer, she was saying something like 20 or 30,000 people made it to the downtown Homer area.
Yeah, that was a lot. And last year, didn't that big storm come through, like about three-fourths of the way through it? Just those kind of dark clouds came up and the tents were blowing over. And
torrential
everything.
Rain. There was literally, we were right along a curbside, about a foot of water flowing all the boxes of soda because we had about 30 cases. We're just getting drenched. Larry Bunning, you know how big Larry is. He's holding down with all of his might one of the corners. And, you know, the rain, we were soaked.
He's like Samson.
Yeah. Oh, it was quite the scene for about 5 or 10 minutes. Yeah, the huge windstorm and rain. And so we're praying. I guess there's the potential for rain, but we're just praying that if there is, it'll be very light and minimal and short. But that'll be happening from 10 to 7:30. And Skip the Bear Chair said he'd volunteer. And Ross, another one of the singing men, is going to come in from, I think, the Gibson City area, and Herb the Radio Servant. So I'll have some singing men representation there, and we'll be handing out soda pops. So stop by, look for the Great News Radio area, because we'll have program guides and price surveys, and I think I'm going to bring a rack of those tote bags to give away. So we'll see how that all comes together. 10 to 7:30 tomorrow at the Homer Soda Festival, downtown Homer. And it'll include a car show and lots of those knickknacks and personalized things that people make and food vendors.
Well, it has a really great kids area.
Yeah, bounce houses.
Where they do the bounce house. They had the guy who was making the big bubbles.
Oh, yeah.
All different sized bubbles, and they had all different kinds of crafts and different things for the kids. They have a great kids area, and they had music, and it is a wonderful, no beer, so it's a wonderful family event. The couple of years that we've gone, I've never seen anybody out of order. I've never seen anything that made me kind of turn my head a little bit and say, I mean, I've always walked away and felt like this was a great place to take my family.
Yeah, we interviewed Kate last year, probably the year before, too. She shared some of her testimony and how they want to bring back the family to downtown Americana and just the intentionality of having it a wholesome, family-friendly event, no beer and great bluegrass and a variety of entertainment that will bless the family. And she's bringing these bottlers from all over the United States, I think over 250 different flavors. And so the tent that I'll be under, there'll be like, I think, 8 or 10 different flavors. And, you know, there's different ways of getting the all-you-can-sample coupon or, you know, buying so many samples and you get these little tickets. But, yeah, they'll be happening tomorrow from 10 to 7:30 in downtown Homer. You're all invited. And come come for a little while or all afternoon. And if you want to volunteer, no volunteers will be turned away. I know Kate was still desiring people to come and help anytime. Like a 3-hour shift gets you like a T-shirt and 10 free samplings and a lunch and some other doodads. So the same, if you come and volunteer with me and Skip and Ross and the Bear Chair, the same, you'll get a free lunch. Yeah, I think you have to volunteer for 3 hours. So if you're available, call the station, let me know, and we'll sign you up tomorrow to help out. One other thing, Jason, you got kind of the scoop yesterday, and I just asked the Great News Radio listeners to pray. I've mentioned this probably over the last 5 or 6 months, just a very intentionality as we're into our 21st year of broadcasting, that it seemed like God may be leading us towards a Great News Radio Event Center. That was one of those where I prayed and prayed and prayed and felt like God was moving along forward. And then I just kind of said, Lord, if it's to be, you move it forward. So it's not something that I'm manufacturing or imposing my will. And this was really rare. Karen and I have had many of these discussions. You know how I get an idea and I want to run forward with it and almost force it into happening. And this was showing the greatest restraint I've ever shown. And I don't know, 3 weeks ago, I just had a supernatural peace like, hey, if it's not meant to be, I'm very content where God has us, and he knows the end from the beginning and where he'll lead and the timing of everything. And so it was like within a couple days of that, I was telling Holly that I just really feel fine about whether it does move forward or doesn't move forward, but I'm not to do anything other than continue to pray. I'm not to do great follow-up and say, hey, what about this, and did you read this? And it was like within a day and a half, I got a reply, hey, let's meet. And so yesterday we met and covered some ground, and I'm meeting with our board chair today to discuss some of the things that went on in that meeting yesterday. And it could very possibly be where God's leading us. The fleece that I had thrown out seems to have been answered. I'm really surprised. And so it would be a great undertaking, but I was telling Karen yesterday, again, being just into our 21st year, it seems like God was preparing me in this ministry to take on maybe a new outreach, this event center. And so we'll see how the pieces fall into place, if lease agreements can be worked out, and if it's manageable, affordable, and all the various things that will need to be discerned and attended to and figured out and planned. And then just, okay, Lord, we're way over our heads, you know, lead and guide and put it together as you would see fit. All to say, for our Great News Radio listeners, just be praying that we have great discernment and understanding, and that if this is, in fact, God's will, and we don't want to have anything other than his will in this, then it'll just seem unanimous with the board and with those that would help fund it and underwrite the costs and be involved through volunteering. And as I know more, then I'll go through my list of 20 top reasons why a Great News Radio Event Center might be something that God's going to do. And I'll save that till I know more. But it seems like there were some very, very positive signs. And we now have to kind of really look at the lease agreement terms and all the other facets that would make this a God-honoring place for people to gather. So please pray that up. I'm sorry I'm being a little vague. I would love to give, you know me, Jason, I'm like biting at the bit when I get excited and want to share it all. And I can hold on to a secret, but it's like, oh, if this is God's will, I can't wait to share it with everyone. And if it's not, he has something better, or he just says not yet, you know, yes, no, or wait, or trust in me a little longer, or Mark, you need character refinement, or these other things need to fall into place, whether it's the financial or the staffing. And so we do just entrust it all to him. And I guess it's been hard, but it's been hard for me to kind of hold back and wait. And yet, like I said, about a week or so back, I just had almost a supernatural peace where I thought, you know, if this isn't meant to be, it almost took the pressure off to me, like, oh, I'm very content if it doesn't come together. Mm-hmm. As enthusiastic as I've been about how it could be used of God. So I think he has me in the very place he wants to have me in, And then it's just whether all the other facets will come together, and the board and everyone will say, God's hand is on this. Let's sign on the dotted line and let's move forward. And there would be that potential by July 1st to launch into some. So I would ask everyone, you know, concentrated prayer as you think about this radio ministry. Just pray that we'll have that discernment to know where God is leading in the days ahead. I'm excited that we're in our 21st year. And that big 20th celebration still revels in my mind and heart of how God rallied us together with one spirit, one mindset to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And may he continue to do that maybe in new ways, maybe even through a Great News Radio event center. So I could get very excited. And yet if I know it's his will to not move forward, I'm going to be very at peace with that too. So that's kind of one of those very unusual boundaries that I'm existing in, where I'm very excited to move forward, yet I could say, okay, Lord, you know that maybe this would be a disaster. And so I don't know. I really feel it must be of God, because that's not the natural me.
Yeah. Well, I think we have to trust in the Lord. And certainly, I mean, if we look at the Acts chapter that we're in Acts today, in Acts 23, I mean, that's what Paul's doing. In chapter 23 and verse 11, you know, Paul has just had this kind of crowd come around him, and he's been saved from a situation. And it says in verse 11, the following night the Lord stood by him and said, take courage, for as you've testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so must you testify also in Rome. God says to Paul, Jesus stands by him and says, just as you've been faithful here, you'll be faithful in a new place. And I think that the distance between Jerusalem and Rome is not necessarily always, for the Apostle Paul here, and I think for us too in the situations we're in, is not always measured in miles or in feet. It's measured in the fear and the anxiety, the unknown that we experience between the two. I mean, I think those are the most difficult miles that we walk, distance that we walk is through the unknown. And the what Paul's going to experience right after Jesus says this is exactly, I think, what you're talking about, Mark. Now, Paul's going to experience it a different way, but he's experiencing what we all experience, which is immediately oppression comes. Immediately we have these Jews who bound themselves, and they take an oath not to eat nor drink until Paul's been killed, until Paul's plans have been killed. I mean, they're not mad at Paul. They're mad at the fact that Paul is preaching Christ, and they're mad at the fact that Paul has been faithful to the calling, to this thing that he's been called to. And what did God say? Take courage, which means that you can rest in me. You can take courage that I have the strength to overcome whatever tries to overcome you, whatever attempts to oppress you. I have the strength. You know, I love that verse that says Christ compels, for we have confidence that the one who died for one has died for all. And so we have this confidence in Christ that compels us forward, that when we meet opposition, we know that the strength, that our strength, which is Christ, it's above all that opposes us. And that's what happens. And I love you. So you have these Jews who, you know, they're bound and they will not drink, they will not eat until Paul is killed. And they even make plans to do that, and they conspire with the chief priests and the elders to do it. And then it says in verse 16, now the son of Paul's sister, so this would have been Paul's nephew, heard of the ambush, so he went and entered the barracks and told Paul. And here you have this little boy, he's Paul's nephew. And what does Scripture say? It tells us that God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. Those who think they have a wise plan, those who think that they know better, God will come and he will use foolish things, a little boy, a nephew, to unravel their whole plan. Yeah. And what's fascinating is what these Jews don't know, but what they ought to know. I mean, these are the chief priests and the elders. These are supposed to be Torah-observant Jews. What they don't know is what Paul knows, and what we know is that whoever fights against God's people are actually fighting against God. Isn't that what Gamaliel says in Acts chapter 5? He says, if you fight these men and if their mission is of God, then you will actually be fighting against God. Do you realize that? And here what's happening is these men are taking an oath not to eat and drink, but are they really taking that oath against Paul? Or are they taking it against God? Because the fight is really with God. And so God sends this little boy, this nephew, to confound the wise and to unravel their plan. And it's proof that when we're in that distance between whatever Jerusalem we're in to whatever Rome we're going to, we're in that space where we feel fear and anxiety or just the unknown, that we can take courage because God has us covered.
Yeah.
And he'll send us something that looks absolutely foolish to confound the plans of the wise. And so Paul called to one of the centurions in verse 17 and says, take this young man to the tribune, for he has something to tell him. Now, what's interesting is this little boy goes into the barracks. This would be a scary place to go into. But he goes in, and because this little boy is moving in the strength of God, I believe. In 18, so he took him and brought him to the tribune and said, Paul the prisoner. Now, this is, I love this in verse 18. He said, took him and brought him to the tribune and said, Paul the prisoner. This is a new name that we get for Paul here. Paul the prisoner. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you, the Gentiles. Now, there's one level here where Paul is a physical prisoner. He's a prisoner here in these barracks. But listen, Paul is not held captive by chains and by locks and those things. Paul ultimately is held captive by Christ. Christ holds him captive. That's what captivates him and holds him captive. Paul's the guy who said to live is Christ, to die is gain. This is why Paul was so absolutely frustrating, because you'd lock him up in prison and he'd convert all the guards. You'd let him loose and he'd go out and he'd convert all the other people. There was nothing you could do with Paul, because whatever position you put Paul in, because his eyes were on Christ, he was always doing Christ's work. But I love here it says Paul the prisoner. Yeah, held captive by the words of Christ, doing Christ's work. Called to me and asked me to bring this young man to you, as he has something to say to you. The tribune shook him by the hand and, going aside, asked him privately, what is it you have to tell me? He said, the Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul down to the council tomorrow, as though they were going to inquire somewhat more closely about him, as though, because this little boy now, he's unraveling their plan, as though they were going to do this, but they're not really going to do that. But do not be persuaded by them. For more than 40 of their men are lying in ambush for him, who have been bound themselves by an oath neither to eat nor to drink till they have killed him, him being Paul. And now they are ready and waiting for your consent. So he kind of says this term. He says, it all lays on you now. What are you going to do? He's calling his character and his integrity into the spotlight. He's saying, now what will you do? And this is not only from this boy, but this is a moment where God is testing, where God is saying, what are you going to do? You've been given enough information to do the right thing. Now, will you do the right thing, or will you do the wrong thing? So the tribune dismissed the young man, charging him, tell no one that you have informed me of these things. The tribune is going to do what's right. Mm-hmm. But what's fascinating here is you have this kind of high drama here, Mark, that encompasses the space between, and we have it in the coming weeks as we talk about the book of Acts. We're going to see even higher drama as Paul's going to go before Felix, and he's going to go before Festus and Drusilla and Bernice. But this high drama that takes place between Jerusalem and Rome, and just as you've prayed and you've laid out that fleece and you've asked the Lord, you know, Lord, what is it that you want to do between Jerusalem and Rome? And for the Great News Radio listener who's listening, and maybe you've been in Jerusalem and you feel like God is moving you towards Rome and you're wondering what that's going to look like, well, I think it's going to look like some opposition. And I think it's going to look like trusting in the Lord. And I think it's going to look like you having to say, in the middle of the season of not knowing, my job is not to get my hands even tighter around this thing. My job is to be held captive by Christ and to allow him to take care of it. Mm-hmm. And God will use the foolish things to confound the wise and to guide the righteous towards greater righteousness. And we see that here in this chapter. Mm-hmm. And so when I read this, I just take such great comfort in the fact that your testimony at the beginning of the show is the testimony of the Apostle Paul. In a lesser or greater way, we could argue that. But, mm-hmm. but it is a testimony of trusting in God. And by the way, God says, take courage. And when God says, take courage, He's not asking you to create courage. He's asking you to take courage. And where do you take it from? From him. Mm-hmm. You draw your courage from him, not from yourself, but from Christ alone, who holds us captive, but not like a slave driver would to a prisoner. He holds us in a loving captivity where we can't not have our eyes upon him because we love him so.
Mm-hmm. And I like how in Paul's case, he just leaned into the Lord. He trusted in God. And what happened? kind of this very supernatural, this nephew, this young child is used in this unique way to have, you know, an audience with the commander. I mean, that was probably very rare for this young, you know, male to be able to, you know, make all these connections were made because God was at work. You know, these commanders is maybe I'm going to get a bribe or, you know, maybe something's going to happen. I'll get rewarded for this. And yet he did the right thing. So maybe God brought some conviction on him, or maybe this guy did have some integrity, but he did do the right thing. So God was using him and the boy to let Paul know that he's being cared for.
Yeah. And I think that God will do that. I think that we need to take comfort that God will send workers along during the harvest to encourage us during that time. The work will be hard. And like I said, there'll be a lot of frustration and anxiety. There'll be a lot of not knowing and a lot of questions that happen between Jerusalem and Rome. But we can take comfort in knowing that God is always going to send workers into the harvest.
Amen. And you're going to get to take a little comfort this next week. I've reached back into the archives a couple months after you came on board on Wednesday to join me during Mark and Friends. We had a study back in December 5th through like the 9th of 2011 where we discussed praying and the Lord's Prayer. And so all week long next week, so you can heal up so that I can attend to various things, we're going to revisit the broadcast from 2011. So I've been having fun listening to them and getting them all set up for this next week. So get your Bibles out next week. We're going to be talking about prayer, and you'll see how we interacted about 4.5 years ago. It was a couple months after Jason said, okay, I'm available on Wednesdays. And I think it was the first time we had you in the studios all week long. So
we were younger men then.
Yeah. Well, I think some people are going to get a delight out of some of what's said and shared. My old derailments came out and are still coming out, but not as frequently as before. So, all right. Well, thanks, Great News Radio listener, for tuning in today and being a part of this broadcast. May something we said and shared touch your heart or equip you for the day or challenge you to get into the Word, get into a good church this Sunday, and fellowship with other like-minded believers. The Lord is worthy of our praise and our time and our energy and our efforts. So get to church this Sunday. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.